cinéphile.
Dans la vie, quand une chose n'est pas sérieuse, on dit c'est du cinéma.
Dr. Strangelove, do we have anything like that?
Pourquoi vous pensez qu'on ne prend pas le cinéma au sérieux?
Roslyn Hyams.
Hello and thanks for tuning in to this month's Cinephile.
Ça tourne. Cinephile's main feature.
The Insult, directed by Ziad Doury. It's set in Lebanon. It may not be the film of the century because of TV-style realism, which may be due to Doury's successful political French TV series Baron Noir. It is, however, noteworthy for striking a universal note. In the film, hostility surfaces between a Lebanese Christian car mechanic, Tony, played by Adel Karam, and a Palestinian construction foreman, Yasser, played by Kamal al-Basha. Basha scooped the Best Actor award at the Venice Mostra Film Festival last year for this excellent, expressive performance. On general release in France on January the 31st, Doury's film The Insult, L'Insulte, written by himself and Joël Touma, is as frank as its title.
It does reflect a truth that had happened in Lebanon during the 70s. The war did end in 1990 and a chapter was closed. But I think certain tension still remains. You just have to scratch it a little bit on the surface for it to come out. But you know, when you do a film, you always go back in time. There is no restriction in terms of time when you're making a film. We still do films about World War II. We still make films about Vietnam. We still make films about the Kennedy assassination. There is no time. It was just, we felt at the time, Joël and I, the co-screenwriter, we felt that we had a story to tell. We were attached to our characters. And in the end of the day, it is a film about seeking justice again, about being fair.
The past is permanently present in the film. You use flashbacks. You also travel around to lots of different locations in the car, interiors in the apartment, the courtroom, in the countryside. Where did you shoot the film and why did you choose those locations?
You know, Beirut is so graphic. It is such a chaotic town with all these high-rise. It is next to the ocean, so it has a flavor. When you see Beirut from the air, it really looks like Hong Kong or Kuala Lumpur or all these big cities. The camera likes Beirut. It does not like flat places. Even Baron Noir that I did, the series in France, I wanted to shoot it mainly in La Défense, which is a very modern section of Paris. I was the anti-Ratatouille kind of movie. So I decided to shoot in Beirut because visually it's extremely appealing, and this is where the story takes place.
The story, I understand, actually spun off from an experience that you yourself had.
I was living in Beirut a few years ago, and just like in the film, was one of the construction workers. I was watering my plants and the water fell on him. And then we had a little bit of a verbal dispute. So he yelled, I yelled, he said, you're this, I said, you're this, and it just, I ended up throwing the big word for him. The co-screenwriter, who happened to be my wife at that time, was standing behind me. She says, yeah, how could you talk about Palestine like this? This is very offensive. So I said, okay, you're right, I'm going to apologize. So I went down and I apologized, and that was the end of it. And then 2 days later, it just dawned on me. I don't know how. It just started coming. I said, what if this film starts with an incident so insignificant, stupid, and it does not get resolved? To the opposite, it gets more complicated. And it keeps getting more and more and more complicated, that it gets out of the street, into the neighborhood, into the city, into the country, all the way to the Lebanese White House, the Lebanese presidency. I said, I know in Lebanon it is possible that things based on just simple words, you could start strife. It did happen in the past like this. And slowly throughout the movie, you start peeling layers until you understand why this guy was being so mean at the beginning.
You show a lot of dignity, tenacity, intelligence, but also simple kindness and understanding that can resolve issues, but it's very tough. There's a lot of emotional back and forth. This is seen especially through the women characters, the lawyer Nadine, the Palestinian character's wife, who's Lebanese, the wife of Tony, the mechanic who gets angry, and the judge.
We did not sit down to work because we had a specific message to send. If you do that, it looks contrived. Then the film start about a message. Then the film become an NGO film or become a UN film. This is not up to us to create social changes. I'm saying it very modestly. We have to build a story that dramatic holds from point A to point G. But certainly when you're writing, there are certain issues that you're close to. There are certain issues that are familiar, issues that you have lived through. Joelle and I lived during the Civil War, years and years, years and years out. We also wanted to show that there is a battle of generation, that within the same family, you might have opposing view, even though they belong to the same camp. But you can tell somebody, look, I did not go what you went through. I'm sorry. I know you suffered, but I didn't suffer like you. The female characters were, to us, younger than their husbands, than their fathers, and more at ease with themselves. Like they have been reconciled. They are the counterpoint of their males' stubbornness and crudeness and old-fashioned. That's why the female in this film are the moderators. They are the avant-gardists, if you want. You need to put the Arab males versus something.
Ça tourne. Cinéphile, up and coming.
Another film whose ending is potentially happy this month is Jews, or L'Enfant de Goa in French, meaning The Child from Goa. It's an Indian film with French and Dutch co-producers. The Child from Goa is a 16-year-old boy called Santosh. He's smart, but his mother is dead, his father is in prison, and he lives with his ailing grandmother in a colony of migrant workers under the rule of a brutal landowner farmer who exploits them, as does his wife. Santosh, played by Hrishikesh Naik, with the rebellious force bestowed on youth, revolts against such injustice and humiliation. Director Miranshah Naik's first feature, set about 20 years ago, is a candid eye-opener and a coming-of-age film.
Well done, Santosh. Congratulations.
Just before the release of his bold feature debut, Miranshah Naik spoke to Cinephile from Goa.
I think it's everywhere in the world. Those kinds of situations which you see in a movie, there are similar situations where people with power still take advantages of weak people.
So it's not necessarily a film made for India. You also point out later in the film that Goa is a tourist resort destination, famous for its beaches and its swimmable coast. It's a tremendous contrast with what actually happens in the film.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, most of the Goan people's life, you know, like happens little away from the coast. This is more of Goa, you know, which you still see. Not necessarily similar situations anymore, because a lot of things have changed for better. But at the same time, you know, what you actually see on the coast and everything, that's only a small part of life for Goans.
Your main actors, Santosh, played by Hrishikesh Naik, who has the same surname as you, and also Maya Barkha Naik, object of his romantic interest, and he also for a while hers. Are they as young as their characters? Are they 15, 16 years old?
Santosh is, but Maya is a little older, but she looks young. Now she must be 20, 21. When we shot, she was around 18 or something.
Your actors are professional and non-professional in the film, Juj.
So there's only one actor, you know, who acted in a film or two, but otherwise, including Hrishikesh, all these people, they do like dramas and everything, but when it comes to facing the camera, with most of the actors, this was their first film, or few of them, you know, actually acted in my short film.
Saturne, Cinephile, RFI's movie pick.
Tony Cross, thank you very much for being with us today on Cinephile as our special RFI guest. You're going to tell us about your favourite film so far this year, All the Money in the World, a film by Ridley Scott.
You need to pay the ransom, Mr. Getty.
I do not have the money to spare.
No one has ever been richer than you are at this moment. What would it take for you to feel secure?
More.
Yes, this is a film about the kidnapping of John Paul Getty Jr., the grandson of Paul Getty, the richest man in the world at the time. This is in the 1970s, a turbulent time. He was in Italy, John Paul Getty Jr., where the Red Brigades were carrying out attacks, where far-right groups were carrying out attacks, where crime and the mafia were rampant. And his grandfather refused to pay the ransom. It's a good story. It's an examination of what wealth can do to a man, and what the pursuit of wealth and the obsession with wealth can do to a man. And I think that also this story of the family, of family loyalty and the division between family loyalty and wealth, That's something which would interest everybody in the world.
Thanks to my guests this month, directors Ziad Doueri and Miransha Naik, to RFI's Tony Cross. And thank you for listening. From me, Roslyn Hyams, and until next time, goodbye.